Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM. Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always, this is a little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. This week, it's time to talk about being on the shelf. Or is it? Because we are going to talk about single shaming. And I am delighted to be joined by one of my favourite people to chat to of a Wednesday, our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Hey, Rachel.
Hiya, Lottie. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you this morning?
I'm really good and I am really into this topic. There's loads to talk about here.
So let's just, because people might not know what it is, so let's just get down to basics. What is single shaming?
Yeah, so it's pretty much what it says in the tin. It's making someone feel inadequate because they're not in a relationship. So it's referencing a person's single status as something that needs changing or fixing. It's this assumption that there either must be something wrong with the person for being single or that they're unhappy.
I'm wondering, is there like a time frame to this? Is this something that people do when they're more in their teens or their 20s or 30s? Is it kind of more prevalent in a certain age demographic?
Do you know, that really varies across cultures. You know, usually it still seems to be based around the idea of life being about getting married and having children. And so if you're not on that path, then there must be something wrong with you, or you're doing life wrong. So it tends to happen for people. So for cisgendered women, that tends to happen in Ireland and in Europe a lot around the age of, 30 to 35. For men, it tends to happen quite a bit later. And so that also changes from different cultures. Like in lots of parts of America, you'll start seeing this happen from early 20s. And yeah, around the world, it tends to change. But there can be all sorts of reasons. It can happen to people at any age, because anyone who's single is still kind of overall seen by society as sort of missing out, potentially being pathetic, or just that they must be sad.
Like, why?
There are so many reasons for this, so we still have the common use of this derogatory term, spinster. We've had Emma Watson talking about self-partnering. So being a single woman is still very much frowned upon by a lot of people in society. And in fact, this happens to people of all genders. It's definitely not just women. But single shaming comes from this idea that being single is somehow lesser to being in a relationship. And I speak to so many smart, successful, confident women who have cemented within them this idea that if they haven't found the one, then there must be something wrong with them. And this belief reflects a distorted, persistent cultural norm, believing that our life is somehow incomplete without a partner, which is inaccurate and can be actually really dangerous. You know, it leads people to feel a lot of shame.
The reason I don't understand this is because we live in a world and society now where, the rate of divorce and separation is so high. And should life not be about what makes you happy? Like, why? I don't know why now in this day and age people continuously feel the need to link happiness to relationships, marriage and children.
Well, we haven't updated our ideas, basically. You know, this can be traced back to the traditional patriarchal idea that a woman should be judged by her marital status. It's often the first question that people ask before even thinking to ask about your career, friends, hobbies, creative projects, community, anything else in your life that you might care about. Most of us have been raised in a society also where it's very normal to ask quite invasive questions about your relationship status, even just as part of getting to know someone, the start of a conversation. A lot of research has showed that, about a third of young people still believe that they should be married with kids by 30. And also once people leave sort of school and college, the majority of cultural celebrations are still based on relationships, marriage and kids, engagement parties, weddings, baby showers, christenings. And then even within our media, we aren't shown much different. You know, in films and TV, single women's plot lines are often just spent looking for partners, whether sexually or romantically, because if you aren't in a relationship, then you should be looking for one. It all drills down to the same narrative. If you're not looking for your other half, then you'll never be whole. Turn on Netflix, start scrolling. Your food won't even get cold before you find a show that's about part finding partnership. You know, there's all sort of, there's no scenario too intense, no, you know, no imposed rules of the game that are too outlandish. This, the entertainment world will make single people do anything. We've got Love is Blind, Married at First Sight, Celebs Go Dating, Love Island, The Bachelor. You know, there's all of these sorts of shows that take singlehood and exploit it for entertainment. So,
and I think, you know, no, do you know what, it's interesting you mentioned The Bachelor there, because, and you, earlier on in the conversation you mentioned the word spinster. I feel like there's it's treated pretty differently to say the word spinster to the word bachelor, isn't it?
It is, you know, so spinster is historically a negative and derogatory term. It still exists all over the world in official documentation, which is pretty bananas. You know, and actually you could see this as a symptom of how misogyny is still super ingrained in our language. So, you know, even in the dictionary, the Cambridge English Dictionary, spinster is defined as a woman who's not married, especially a woman who is no longer young and seems unlikely ever to marry. You know, so, you know, spinster is not a word that's used to describe a man. The alternative is bachelor. And actually, the history is quite interesting. Historically, spinster refers to women who literally spun thread and yarn for a living, dating back as far as the mid-1300s. So it was originally simply used to describe a woman's job, but it also quickly became associated with women who were single and poor. And so historians suggest that because unmarried women were poorer than married women in the Middle Ages, they couldn't access expensive materials and ended up doing lower status, lower income jobs like spinning wool. So basically, this has been around for centuries, and, you know, this is not the same for men. You know, it's not to say that men can't be single shamed. I have a lot of men tell me that they've been single shamed and they found it really hurtful. They feel a lot of insecurity and fear and confusion around it, and also just frustration. Lots of people just don't want to be in a relationship for many reasons. As you said, Lottie, you know, the current statistics are that about 50% of marriages end in divorce, first marriages, and a lot higher for second marriages. Now, that's not to say that longevity is the only way to measure the success of a relationship. Of course, you can have a very successful, fulfilling relationship that doesn't last a lifetime. However, this idea that it's all about marriage and children, it's just not the be all and end all for everybody.
Has it gotten worse during the pandemic? Has that had an effect on it?
It actually has. You know, recently Match.com actually did a survey of 1,000 people, and they found that more than half of single people have experienced single shaming since the start of the pandemic. Almost 40% say they've been pitied for not having a partner. About a third have been pitied for living alone, even though about 60% of those people are content with their relationship status. You know, so it seems that absolutely questions from friends and families about their love lives are coming thicker and faster. So yeah, about a third of people, single people, have said they've noticed an increase in questions.
So how can those people deal with it? If somebody is being single shamed, what should the reaction be?
Oh, start by taking a breath and be kind to yourself. Remember that these comments are never a reflection on you. They usually come from people who have a different experience of life, maybe different values, and maybe don't see your perspective. They're looking at life through their own lenses, and possibly, you know, rightly or wrongly assuming that you know, want a partner, that you're looking for a partner. You know, so it's basically when you respond, avoid apologizing or making self-deprecating statements like, oh, I'm not very good at keeping them interested, I suppose. You know, you don't need to justify your love life to anyone else. It's okay to give a vague response. Don't be afraid to change the topic to something else that you're, you know, that you care about. There's more to life than just romantic relationships. You can be very nondescript and shrug and say, I guess I haven't just met the right person. Or not at the moment, how's your work going? You know, move the conversation on. If someone has really given you a hard time, take them to the side and be honest with them and ask them to be respectful of your choices and stop putting pressure on you. You know, but you don't have to justify your life, but you can certainly be honest and upfront that, you know, it's frustrating, it's exhausting.
Yeah, and I'd say it's infuriating as well, because it's just so commonplace. And then I suppose if you flip it on its head, people can find themselves probably in situations where they just find they consequently end up shaming themselves, because that's what I used to do. Well, I'm pregnant now, but before I was pregnant and I'm in my mid-30s, I used to, like, the constant questioning of when you're going to have a baby, when, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up inadvertently saying negative things about myself to other people to kind of make the situation go away, even because I wasn't comfortable saying, well, actually, it's because I'm working loads at the moment, or do you know what? It's actually none of your business. I'd end up going, oh, yeah, I know, it's terrible. I'm a terrible person. And, you know, you'd end up shaming yourself.
Yeah. Oh, God. And this is so common, right? You sort of end up buying into it. If everybody around you, your friends, your family, the whole of media, you know, social media, the news, film is all basically telling you that there's something wrong with you unless you're in a lifelong monogamous partnership, then of course at some point you're going to start believing that. And this is what I said earlier when I said that it can be dangerous, because what happens to a lot of people is they start to feel, you know, desperation about this. They feel so much fear, they're feeling so much pressure that they can end up getting into relationships that are really, really not healthy for them. You know, and so this is recognizing that society is still telling us, this very neoliberal ideology is still telling us that, like, you always have to be getting to the next step. You can never be happy with where you are. If you're single,
yeah,
you should be in a relationship.
That really bugs me.
Oh, and it just goes on. If you're in a relationship, you should be engaged. If you're engaged, you should be married. If you're married, you should be having kids. If you're, you know, you should be buying a house. You should be getting promotions. You should be having another kid. You should be making sure you get them into the best schools. It is never ending. And so just recognizing that and being able to step off the hamster wheel a bit. You know, it's okay to still feel a bit anxious about this stuff and sit down and, you know, talk about it, have a vent about it, question it. But see what you can do to try and decide for yourself what actually makes sense for you and your values and your life.
So if somebody's listening now, Rachel, thinking, Jesus, that's me, I do that to people, what are the ways that they could maybe stop shaming other people?
Yeah, the ways that you can do are just be careful of your language. You know, the things that people will commonly say, even things that, like, it's often very well-meaning. You know, it can be well-meaning but misjudged sort of compliment. It can also be overtly rude compliments. It can be from nosy relatives, smug kind of coupled up friends. So even things like saying you deserve happiness, that can be really grating because there's an implication there. That you're not happy. And even if someone is unhappy, telling them that they deserve happiness isn't anything. This isn't anything they don't know. You know, that can be very patronizing. So saying, people tell me, they hear things like TikTok, TikTok.
Oh, God.
Are you putting yourself out there? Don't you want to have kids? You're not getting any younger. How are you still single? You'll find someone soon. Stop being so picky. Who are you dating? You must be so lonely. I can't believe you haven't met anyone yet. Are you seeing someone special? How long has it been since your last relationship? These sorts of things.
They make me cringe. They're so invasive.
So invasive. And realistically, you know, if someone expresses to you that they are or aren't dating and they would like a partner, just empathize with them. Just say, oh, that's really hard. I'm sorry. I'm sure that's shite. And if they are happy, they express to you that they're happy that they're single, or that they're just neutral, that they're fine, they're getting on with their life, be happy for them. It's quite simple.
Yeah, I think it's just an important message is think before you speak. I kind of got a bit fed up with people who would kind of try to pawn off a cruel comment with, oh, but that's not how I meant it. Well, do you know what? That's just not good enough sometimes. Sometimes you really need to think before you speak, and not everybody thinks the way you do. And then making somebody feel like they're being super sensitive about something is very unfair, I think, just because it doesn't match up with your line of thinking. So I think before you speak and be respectful of other people when they're choosing to do things differently to you.
Absolutely. And just, you know, even looking at our own choices, sometimes people will really they go hard on this because it might be that they are not necessarily regretting their own life choices. But, you know, sometimes we can be a bit envious of someone who's living a different life to us because, you know, there are benefits to all sorts of different ways of living life. And so sometimes it's actually that we're projecting our jealousy of aspects of someone else, that we might be sort of pushing on them that they should want the things that we have or that we have chosen in our own lives. So just sort of being aware of that, and even that you can express that, like, God, I'm really, you know, parts of me are really envious of someone getting to have that much time for themselves, for their work, for their creative projects, for their friends, for their community, for, you know, social justice causes, if that's what they're into. So, you know, just being aware of that as well, that it's okay for us to make any of these different choices. It's not okay for us to shame other people.
Absolutely. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant, thank you so much. You can follow Rachel on Instagram. It's at Rachel Jane Cook, and she'll be back next week. So if you have any questions you want us to put to her, get in touch with the team. You can get in touch with us 24/7. The email is jen@rte.ie.
It's okay, you can all come out now, because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.